Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on February 26th, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we are looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I have to tell you, Jackie, I have a tremendous sense of history. These shows that we've done recently with Measure O in Hermosa Beach and Measure B, the one show that we did on Measure B so far in Redondo, these are really truly historic votes by the citizenry. And I'm just thrilled about today's show.
It's big picture stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I love it. We've got a lot to get to, so I just want to make one program note. We're not going to take phone calls today. Normally, we do welcome people to call in, but today we're not going to take phone calls because we really want to cover the subject matter, and we have two tremendous guests. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Eric Pendergraft of AES and Redondo Beach Mayor Steve Aspel. Now, Steve is currently serving as the 29th mayor of the city of Redondo Beach, having won the election of May 2013. He began his public service career in 1998 as a planning commissioner. In 2005, he was elected to the Redondo Beach City Council representing District 1 for a four-year term. He was successfully reelected in 2009 for another 4 years. In his 8 years as council member, he served as mayor pro tem and represented the city on various boards, commissions, and agencies, including Independent Cities Association, the West Basin Water Association, the L.A. County City Selection Committee, the L.A. County Sanitation District, League of California Cities, Redondo Beach Sister Cities Committee, Redondo Beach Roundtable, and the list goes on and on. To his constituents, he is affectionately known as the pothole councilman because of the attention he gives to the smallest things that affect their lives. To the city as a whole, he was the force behind the Esplanade streetscape improvement. He worked to elevate the city's pristine piece of California coastline to world-class status, making the Esplanade a much-talked-about destination in Southern California. Steve has been active in the community for many, many years. He has been Zero the Hero at the local elementary schools for 15 years. Zero is a comic character that goes into kindergarten classes on the 100th day of school to help kids learn how to count to 100 by tens. He has also donned the Santa Claus suit at numerous Santa sleighs. And Steve has been an active member of the Rotary Club for 18 years, serving in every position, including being honored as the club president in 1999. He has been active in local sports, AYSO, and Redondo Sunset Little League and softball as volunteer coach, referee, and all other positions since 1990. For these and many more community accomplishments, he was awarded Redondo Beach Man of the Year in 2002. Now, Steve worked for Farmers Insurance since 1976. He was an agent for 20 years and a district manager for the last 17 years. As district manager, he was responsible for hiring, training, managing, and motivating agents. Now, Steve was born in Inglewood and grew up in Westchester. He moved to Redondo Beach in 1976 and has been living here ever since. He's married to Pam, his best friend from high school, and together they raised four children here in the South Bay. Eric Pendergraft is currently responsible for AES's business development activities in California, which includes plans to modernize several existing natural gas-fired generating plants and the development of the world's largest battery storage system. These new development projects will be built at the company's existing power plant sites in Los Angeles and Orange County. Eric is also leading the effort to transform the Redondo Beach waterfront by giving the voters the opportunity to phase out the existing AES power plant and eliminate all future industrial uses on the property forever. Measure B would rezone the 50 acres of land where the AES power plant now operates, changing it from industrial to residential and mixed use, and allowing the development of an attractive harborside village. Eric joined the company in 1998 when AES purchased three power plants in the greater Los Angeles areas from Southern California Edison, where he previously worked. He has held a variety of other positions with AES, including regional director for the West, president of AES Southland, vice president of the North American Pacific region, vice president of regional operations at AES Eletropaulo in São Paulo, Brazil, and plant manager at the Huntington Beach Generating Facility. Eric holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from the University of California at Santa Barbara and serves on the boards of the California Foundation on the Environment and the Economy, on the Environment and the Economy, and the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce. All right, so as you mentioned earlier, Joe, 2 weeks ago we discussed Measure B with opponents of this particular rezoning plan, and today we're going to give equal time to those in favor of the measure. Eric, Honorable Mayor Steve, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Having us.
Yes, thanks, Joe and Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you both. It's an honor, but also it's just it's history. And I want to start with you, Steve, because I've thought a lot about this. I mean, what we're talking about. You've been everything from zero to hero to Santa Claus. They call you the pothole councilman. I mean, you've really been involved in Redondo Beach politics at every level. Lived in the city for over 30 years. But Steve, did you ever imagine that you would preside over the transformation of Redondo's landscape? I mean, like since it was founded. This is truly historic.
Yeah, it is historic, and you're right. I never thought I would be in the position that I am now to help Redondo move on. And, you know, for once, I mean, the first thing, I never thought I'd be mayor. You know, I would have thought about that 15 years ago.
Right.
But no way would I run for anything in a political office. But because it's very time-consuming, and I have a family and things like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, the pier and the harbor and the AES power plant are always the center of discussions in Redondo Beach. And that power plant's been looming over the city since longer than anybody is alive in
right.
the city has been around. So I think this is an historic opportunity to finally get rid of the power plant. It's the only guaranteed way to get rid of the power plant.
Right, right. It's something that, you know, many discussions have been had over the years, as they say, Eric, but your company, AES, having the capability to make decisions of various kinds, and you know, there was lots of plans about a much reduced power plant, a modern power plant facility that would take up, I think it was like 10% of the space of the existing plant and so forth. But ultimately, the decision was to come up with a plan to completely eliminate the plant. Tell us a little bit about AES, the AES decision to go with the plan as represented by Measure B?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Really, it started several years ago as it became apparent to us that the city and most of the people in the community wanted us to try to find an alternative that would allow us to phase out the existing power plant and really provide us enough financial benefit so that we would voluntarily not pursue any future industrial development. So the community and the city were urging us basically to try to come up with a plan that satisfied those requirements. And then, you know, as an individual who drives down 190th many times a week and just sees that power plant dominating the harbor and waterfront, that's a reasonable thing to ask for. It's quite reasonable that people would say, you know what, if we had our choice, we'd rather not have this big thing on our waterfront. So we basically heard those requests and could sympathize with them. And so while we were pursuing a permit that would allow us to build a new power plant, we were doing all the things necessary to evaluate if such a solution existed. And it's not our core expertise. We don't know how to do mixed use and residential development, so it took us some time. But we were thrilled that at the end of the day, we could come up with a plan that, one, we could get alignment within AES that was worth proposing. Two, it treated us fairly from an economic perspective. And three, and most importantly, it gave the possibility for Redondo to have a industrial free waterfront for the first time in over a century. So it really was an effort to try to find a win-win solution that that was responsive to what the city and the community was asking for.
Right. It was 1902 that Henry Huntington formed the Pacific Light and Power Company to basically generate steam generated electricity for his red car line. And it's been all those years, various companies, Edison and of course AES now. It's so historic. It's really an amazing transformation. So let's get into the particulars. What was it that AES really wanted to? What was the purpose and the intent of Measure B?
Well, the intent, there was a threshold that had to be met, and one, the proposed project or the proposed zoning had to have enough underlying economic value associated with it so it was comparable to our alternatives. Mm. You know, we're a publicly owned company, we have shareholders, we have a board of directors, you know, it had to be fair economically. So that was sort of a threshold item, and then we met with various consultants and land use experts to look at various scenarios and then the possible alternatives for a non-industrial development on the site, and trying to determine if one, they had enough underlying economic value, and two, did we believe they could get the support of the community? Were they reasonable? Were they something that we think the community would be proud of and could get behind? And so that was a very lengthy process that took us several years, just because it's not what we do. And also, we knew the CenterCal development was going on across the waterfront, so we wanted it, and it had to be something that complemented the rest of the activity on the waterfront. And every single expert that we talked to, 100% of them said that site is perfect for residential development, which we knew may be more controversial, but we listened to the experts, and so we came up with what we thought was a very reasonable compromise with 600 homes maximum, which is about 1,000 fewer homes than was in the heart of the city plan, and really, in our view, a reasonable balance between the residential use and some other community serving uses, a commercial, open space, hotel, and that sort of thing.
Right. So I promise, Eric, no political questions for you. All the political questions go to Steve. He's the mayor.
Okay.
The buck stops with him. So when you think about Measure B, Steve, what is it that, from the city's perspective, you believe Measure B accomplishes?
It's just basically getting rid of the power plant. It's the only guaranteed way. Mm-hmm. When about it just seems like 10 years ago we talk about the power plant every day, but last summer was when Eric Pendergraf called and said, you know, we want to get together. They have an idea. And they said, okay, so we met, and he just kind of rolled it out there. What do you think about this? It was 600 units, and I looked at it and said, well, I think it's doable compared to the heart of the city that we had 10 years ago, and which if you combine the entire acreage down there, not just AES, it was going to be almost 3,000 individual units. So I pretty much thought it was a slam dunk with the voters, because the people have wanted to get rid of the power plant. Because of our charter now with Measure DD, we have to have the people vote at any major change in land zone. So anyway, it just seemed like it was a good idea to get rid of the power plant, and we did something historic here. And we did our due diligence outside of the presence of AES about the potential for a new power plant if Measure B fails. And we knew they were, you know, we were paying a lot of money to lawyers to act as interveners on the city's behalf in the AES permit process to get a new power plant,
right,
air cooled plant they want to put in. And we just thought, you know, this is doable. We get rid of the power plant. We can save the taxpayers a lot of money from sitting here at the table as interveners.
Right.
And you know, basically, politically speaking, some people say that AES will never get a permit anyway. Well, I disagree with that. And I'm not willing to take the chance and roll the dice.
Right.
This is a great way to get rid of the power plant once and for all. And I think it's a win-win for the citizens of Redondo Beach.
Yeah, you're pointing out something very important that we linger on, and it's been talked about lots and lots in the last few years. We are dealing with a landowner. This is not an issue of eminent domain. This
Correct.
Is not an issue of where we can just take over the property anytime we want. This is, you know, America. This is a landowner that has to get the value from their property that they believe that they deserve and that meets market standards. And here, it's a slam dunk. It's you vote. They've agreed. They participated in the drafting of Measure B, and so fundamentally, AES has already raised the white flag if we adopt Measure B, right?
Exactly. This is they've come to they've had to make a decision on behalf of their board and their shareholders and everything about what they could critical mass that they could get out of here with, and
right.
they came up with this number,
right?
And that's just an opportunity,
right?
And you know, the other people may say that this is it might be too dense, it might have too much retail or too big a hotel or cause traffic, but I don't buy that.
Right.
So we'll see what the voters say.
Now, you know, one of the big issues that was discussed in our last show regarding Measure B was in the sample ballot that was sent out to every voter, the city attorney, Michael Webb, gave a very succinct, cogent review of what Measure B actually is. But the last paragraph refers to elements of Measure B which allowed the city to amend portions of the measure, but only subject to the consent of the property owner. What's your take on that last paragraph in Michael Webb's analysis?
Michael Webb is brilliant, and he leaves no stone unturned.
Yeah.
So he'll protect everybody's point of view.
Yeah.
Anybody, whether it's AES, pretend it's not AES, pretend it's John Doe. That's a house.
Yeah.
They go to all this trouble to get an initiative passed and give up their right to pursue future industrial use. They can't have the next city council come in next year, next week, 10 years or 8 years from now, and downzone them because they just feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be protected as a citizen as a property owner. They have to be protected from like arbitrary, capricious future councils coming in and just downzoning them mm-hmm. because they feel like it. And you know, it's very easy for a city council to turn over in philosophy, and we are termed out after maximum of two terms. So, as landowner, they need to be protected from us.
Mm-hmm.
But after 10 years, it won't matter.
Right. And why is that? After 10 years?
Well, that's as long, Eric. Isn't that? That's as long as they're as that amendment's in there, where they have to they have the right to. You know.
Yeah, the provision that provides us the ability to consent to any changes sunsets in 2025.
Right. Now, and that refers to every provision, Eric, of Measure B, or would there be some wiggle room if, for instance, we had raised the issue in our last show? You know, most of the opponents of Measure B don't oppose, obviously, the removal of the power plant. And they don't oppose some residential, some commercial, and a lot of open space. But if it's 10 acres, why couldn't we do 15 or 20? I mean, the issue was, couldn't we adjust over time? Do you think that the Measure B allows for adjustment over time?
Yeah, and I think that's important for everyone to realize that Measure B simply would modify the zoning and set maximums. So it would basically determine the box that any project must fit within. But there can certainly, going forward, be fewer homes, fewer commercial space, more open space, less hotel rooms. The only thing that provision does is if it's done in a, I'll say, hostile way. But if a unsupportive city council comes in and tries to do something, you know, without our consent, and say, you know, well, we want, you know, 80% of it to be a park, right. We have the ability to say no.
Right.
But if we work together collaboratively and you know, come up with a compromise, the measure completely allows adjustments to the plan within the box. If a developer or we try to exceed the limits, like put more homes than allowed or more open space, or I'm sorry, more commercial space, then it has to go to a vote of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think that is the best path to getting, like, for instance, more open space. Because by passing Measure B, it gets the power plant and all the industrial options off the table forever. We don't have to think about, you know, pursuing any of those. We don't have to go back to our board of directors and try to convince them. I know we tried this once, but we're going to try it again. I mean, we're going to basically go back to doing what we know how to do. So if you pass Measure B, mm-hmm. you get all the industrial options off the table, and then we work together to try to figure out exactly what goes on that site. And we want to do something special for the community, but at the end of the day, it's also about economics. So whether there's 100 homes, 200 homes, no homes, 500 homes, you know, it's all about more open space could be provided by, you know, just paying us and setting aside more land for a bigger park.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Joe, there's something a lot of people have been confused about something. They don't understand how development works necessarily, but AES is the owner of that property, but they're working on rezoning their property so they can sell it to a developer.
Correct.
AES is not going to be the landowner, right? Right, Eric? I mean,
the developer.
No, AES is going to make their property as attractive as possible to sell to a developer. AES are not developers.
Right.
So,
yeah,
so,
that's correct.
Yeah, so when if this measure passes and AES gets it, the city isn't going to even be dealing with AES. The city is going to be dealing with the developer, and there is no developer in place yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like the marina, their CenterCal, they're already in place, but there's no developer yet in place
mm-hmm.
for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a process. AES has to package their property and sell it to somebody as attractively as they can. And by getting the zoning and all this other stuff.
Right.
But it's not AES. It's even they're going to be out of the picture at a certain point.
Right. Right.
Did I say that correctly, Eric?
Yes, exactly. I mean, our objective would be to get the zoning in place, basically establish the new allowed uses, sell the property to a developer, and then lease it back for a period of time while we continue to operate the existing facilities, and the developer is going through all the steps they need to do to propose a specific project, complete the environmental and traffic assessment, get the Coastal Commission approval, get the City Council approval. So all that's being done in parallel while we are finishing up operating the existing units.
Right.
This, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about the future of Redondo Beach without, potentially without an AES power plant, something that we haven't seen since 1902. A power plant has been in place somewhere in Redondo, and we're talking with Eric Pendergraft of AES and Redondo Beach Mayor Steve Aspel. We'll be right back to that conversation after a station break, but I do want to say, I see there are a few people on the board, we're not going to be taking calls today, just like we did not take calls in the previous Measure B discussion. We want to give our guests plenty of time to answer questions, and we hope we're asking them the rough questions. We promise we'll beat up Steve a little bit more. Jackie, we need to thank a sponsor. Who do we want to thank?
We do need to thank a sponsor, but I just want to say before I get to them, don't you lump me in with that we haven't seen this change in the waterfront in 100 years. I wasn't around back then. I don't remember before there was a plant. Don't lump me. You said we haven't seen. Don't include me in that group. Anyway, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. And that would be Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, right, Joe?
Yes, indeed. Yes, okay. Indeed.
Tax season.
So now, you know, the purpose of the show, and the purpose, I think, of our interview really isn't to ask every question or to try to delineate every particular issue with Measure B, but to give you, and we'll start with you, Eric, an opportunity to talk about what the future might look like. And you've given us a hint that there is wiggle room for future potential changes. Of course, a developer has not been selected yet, so the actual entity that will actually be doing the development isn't even on the table yet. This is just AES saying we know that we can satisfy our financial obligations to our shareholders with this property by going in a different direction than a power plant. Is that correct, Eric?
Yes, that is correct. And the change in zoning would really do two important things. One, as we've said already, it guarantees the existing power plant is removed and there's no more industrial use. So it gets the industrial options off the table, and then it defines the development envelope or the permitted uses going forward, which is what establishes the underlying value of the property. And that's really what the zoning does. And then there's a long involved process before any project can actually get all the approvals necessary to move forward.
So if I don't think there's anyone else, Eric, that has heard more objections to Measure B and perhaps is in a better position to have collected the top three objections to Measure B, what would you say those objections you've heard, the reasonable ones, have been, and what do you think that the answers are to those?
The biggest objection I've heard, and the most reasonable, I think, is just concerns about traffic and congestion. And I think those are reasonable. We're in a heavily congested area. We're changing the land use. You know, people's initial reaction to 600 homes is, wow, that sounds like a lot. It is spread out over 50 acres, so it's 12 on average, 12 homes an acre, which is actually low density. But the answer or the response to that is, this is only the first step. So if Measure B passes, there will have to be a specific project proposed. And by California law, the California Environmental Quality Act, that project will have to undergo a very comprehensive environmental and traffic analysis to assess if there are any expected impacts. And to the extent those analyses indicate that there are expected to be, you know, significant traffic impacts, for instance, then something has to be done before the project can receive approvals. And those options are, one, the developer would be required to fund infrastructure improvements, improvements to the roadways or putting in turn pockets or better signal light synchronization, to the extent there's some sort of improvement in public transport. So the developer had to fund projects to relieve the congestion, and if those aren't economically feasible or available, then the project has to be scaled down to address the impacts, or it won't be able to comply with CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, and it won't be able to get the approvals of the City Council and the and the Coastal Commission. So I can appreciate concerns about traffic. They will be addressed, and they'll be addressed as required by California state law and prior to getting any approvals. So I know you asked for three. That was a fairly lengthy response. So.
No, that's great. And I want to cover these very, very succinctly, because that's a great one. Please hold the next one, the second one. And I want to go to Steve and say, you know, Steve, we had Todd Lowenstein and Jim Light on the show in our previous Measure B show, and they made a very cogent point about traffic in the sense that if other kinds of development besides residential, like, for instance, office space for high-tech companies, office space for workers, then they would be coming into the city and then leaving in the evening as they go back to their homes, wherever that might be, and that would be a different traffic pattern. Does that make sense for the city, Steve?
Oh, it doesn't to me. I don't know. I am not a traffic expert, and apparently these other two gentlemen you have on think they are traffic experts. You know, offices, I've had offices forever. That's all I've done in my whole life is working.
Yeah.
And I had an insurance agency. I had one on, I met him in Redondo in Manhattan in Torrance. And if I didn't have four or five customers come to my office every day, I was going to go out of business.
Right.
So if you have a successful office anywhere, it's going to attract customers.
Yeah.
If you have a dental office, you're going to attract customers. So if you don't have traffic, on the other hand, a place like this would most likely attract couples or retired people. It's not a place to families. And I'll give you my reasons here. You know, if 200 of the places would be lofts over retail, they're not big enough. People aren't going to, and they're going to be very expensive, and people aren't going to live there with a family in a loft. And more people are starting to telecommute, working from home, or they're retired. On my street where I live here in Redondo, there's not a lot of commuters because they're retired. And that rote, you know, that goes through the system, and in 10 more years there'll be new families here maybe. Mm-hmm. But if you ever look at the Village condos or the Seascape condos or 1800 South PCH down here, there's very few children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, I'm not making this up. There's very few kids go down there. And so people, there's traffic when people are taking their kids to school, and there's traffic when they're picking them up and taking them to soccer. You know, there's traffic just in life.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, it's traffic, every article I read from an opponent, the traffic fluctuates from 6,000 to 12,000 to 15,000. There's no real hard answers for this. A lot of our traffic is cut through traffic from Torrance and Palos Verdes or Lomita. They're driving to El Segundo.
Mm-hmm.
A final thing about traffic, people keep saying it's getting worse. Well, you know, I grew up on the other side of the airport, in Englewood and then Westchester, and now I live here.
Mm-hmm.
But for 62 years, I've never lived more than 7 or 8 miles from where I'm sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, the airport area and El Segundo had every major aerospace firm in the nation, and there were thousands of employees.
Right.
You had TRW on aviation down here, and that parking lot was packed, and they were parking on city streets. If you drive over to Northrop Grumman after we end this radio show, I'll guarantee you that there's parking lots only 20% filled.
Right.
And El Segundo doesn't have nearly the employment as they did in the 80s. Aerospace has left the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all downsized. So, you know, the traffic does mean employment, but I just don't see it any worse during the day. Now, at rush hour, if people are driving through Redondo, I'm not going to argue. Going north and going south, depending on the time of the day, can be pretty brutal.
Hmm.
But the people that would live in this kind of new building, I don't envision them as being commuters. But if don't buy into this thing about an office is going to attract no traffic. Because if you have an office, you need traffic to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right.
Yeah, and Joe, if I could just add something.
Sure.
I did hear, and I know that Jim Light and others have been promoting this office campus concept.
Mm.
We did consult with our traffic engineer because I'm not an expert, and the feedback was that for a similar square footage of office space compared to residential creates 3 times more peak hour trips than the home.
Mm.
And while, you know, some could say it's going counter the normal flow of traffic, you're still going to have people going north to south to get to the office campus. And you also have the impacts of people trying to turn. So the conclusion and the response from the traffic engineer is, yeah, an office campus may sound great on the surface, but when you actually do the analysis, it is far worse than residential development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Particularly on a peak hour basis.
Understood. Now, as I say, Eric, you're the expert on objections because you've really taken it on the chin and actually, in my view, done a great service to your shareholders and to AES by being such a great representative of the company in this essentially a very
punching bag.
It's a very emotional, as you well know, a very emotional
right.
issue for many people in Redondo and in the larger context of the South Bay. What's the number two objection that you've heard?
The number two would probably be, and this could potentially be number one, is the plant's going away no matter what. Don't worry, regardless of what happens to Major B, plant's going away, and AES will have to come back with a different proposal that, you know, will be better, basically. And that's just simply not true either. And it actually, that argument frightens me a lot more than the traffic argument, because I know what will really happen if Major B fails. And we will go back to looking at our alternatives that are consistent with what's currently allowed there, including resuming our efforts to build a new power plant. The opponents will mention, you know, will claim we didn't get a contract, so there'll never be another new plant built there. That's not how things work in California. The need for new power plants is assessed every 2 years. And so certainly over the next decade, as these assessments take place, there will be future opportunities to get a contract to support building a new plant. We're also, while we may be required to shut down the existing facility in 2020, there's nothing, no law that says we have to tear it down. We will not actually tear it down until we have an economically viable path to move forward. And then there are other industrial alternatives available to us, starting with a desalination facility and a large-scale battery storage facility. So I know how hard it was to get senior management to agree to go in this direction in the first place, because it's not what we do.
Right.
And I can tell you, if Measure B fails, we do not come back with a scaled-down Harbor Village. We come back with what we know how to do, and that's you know, infrastructure projects, whether that be a new power plant, a desal facility, or a battery storage facility. And I think that would be just such a shame for the right. people of Redondo Beach.
Now let's focus on this just for a minute. AES is not in the business of developing mixed-use properties. AES is in the business of generating power or building batteries or whatever the industrial business uses that they do. And that's, you've got 50 acres. So that's exactly what you would do, isn't it? You would
Correct.
Do what you know how to do as a business. It's not like you're being forced to vacate. You're just simply potentially not going to generate energy anymore. But what could you do with 50 acres in an industrial setting? You could do a lot of things, including, and I want to give this to you, Eric, this is free, I'm giving this to you, grid level storage is the future of the planet. Grid level storage, if you guys could build batteries, liquid batteries, you could take over the world. But that's just an aside.
We are the industry leader in that. I said in the intro, we just got awarded the largest battery project in the world in Long Beach.
I have to tell you, among friends of mine who are scientists, this is something that most people don't think about. But as you bring on wind and you bring on solar and other intermittent renewable energy sources, one of the things you don't think about is, well, when that energy is being generated, it isn't always peak hours, so you have to store that energy. And the storage of that energy is one of the great gold rushes in the industrial electric grid world. That's amazing, and AES is a leader, and I knew that already.
Absolutely,
it's fabulous, and I applaud your company for being a leader in that category. But
thanks.
Do something with that property to make money for your shareholders. And if it's not, you know, residential, mixed use, commercial, open space, it's going to be industrial, and that would be a tragedy.
A tragedy for the city.
Steve, can you talk to that, the concept? And Eric, you know, made it clear, the plant's going away anyway, no matter what.
That's what some people want you to think. Because they weren't and they're not awarded the contract today, doesn't mean they won't be awarded the contract in the future. And I'm a firm believer that if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And if they want, if AES wants to build a new ultra-modern air-cooled power plant, they will do that if this thing fails.
Right.
And then they'll find they will find someone to purchase the power. And I'm not saying that as a threat. I gain nothing from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. They're not going to relinquish their property rights and hand it over to people to build a park or a smaller version of the Measure B zoning.
Right.
And they will continue on other industrial uses.
Right.
I'm not saying there'll be oil or something like that. It's just going to be other industrial uses. It still has to go to the city council and the entitlements and the coastal commission, no matter what they want to build.
Right.
But to say that if this thing loses, they're going to go away and come back in a month with a scaled down version, that's ludicrous, and it's misleading the citizens of Redondo Beach. You have to remember, this is a zoning change only. And there's no plans have been submitted to the city. And if it wins, there's no shovels in the dirt come next Wednesday.
Hmm.
This will be a long process. And by the time a developer actually submits paperwork or their plans for the city to approve and the various commissions, I would probably not be the mayor any longer.
Mm-hmm.
If I had two terms, we'd have a whole new city council, and the citizens can vote for the representatives who they think will do the best negotiating in that land use. But this is a zoning thing to get rid of the power plant, and I truly believe that within a few weeks after this, if it lost, I hope it wins, so I don't have to prove it wrong. But AES will go up and reopen their plan, reapply for a new plant. They have to protect their rights too.
Right. Or they will create grid level storage batteries and other businesses.
Yeah, grid-level storage batteries, well, that takes away the school problem. It takes away any traffic talk.
Right.
But it certainly isn't going to add to the property values of Redondo Beach.
Right.
So if people don't want any new traffic or any new neighbors, then they can have a battery storage and a desal plant or whatever AES wants to do.
Right.
And there's no traffic.
Right. We're going to be back with this discussion in a moment. Right now, we're going to take a station break, and I just want to remind people that we are not taking calls today, but of course, we did do a previous show with Todd Lowenstein and Jim Light on Measure B, if you'd like a different perspective. Jackie?
Joe, my weekend guide is on my website.
Yeah.
And everybody can go there and see what's on tap. There's a lot of great stuff happening this weekend, but it's a good conversation. I don't want to interrupt it, so let's stick with it.
Let's stick with it. So, Eric, let's go what may be termed our the third objection, or what do you hear out there? What's another big issue that you think people are having with Measure B?
We already touched on it briefly, what the opponents are calling the veto right and what we call the mutual consent provision. Mm-hmm. I think because this is truly just zoning, and there is a lot of work that will take place to define the actual project, and it could very easily be a project that is smaller in scale than what the zoning allows, the opponents are basically suggesting that'll never happen because AES has this consent right. So if there tries to be a smaller project, AES would never agree to it, and therefore it's a fantasy, which is, again, is not the case. As with every, I think, major land use issue, particularly in a coastal environment like this, they are always compromises. They are always negotiations. They are always multiple parties working together to come up with a plan that is mutually acceptable, that the developer knows it has the support of the city council, the developer knows it will get through the coastal commission, and for it to get through the city council has to believe that the majority of their constituents support it. So that's what's really going to happen. Now, certainly we've protected ourselves from, something really bad happening and a council coming in and trying to do something, without our consent. But at the end of the day, for any project to move forward, for a shovel to get put in the ground, it has to be approved by the council and the Coastal Commission. And that dynamic by itself creates compromise. It creates a need to work together. Mm-hmm. And so it's there to protect us. It's not there to ensure that we can ram a project, that maximizes the development up to the caps in the zoning.
I have a question. So AES owns that 50 acres, but then there is the power line corridor that, goes east. Now, I believe that's owned by SoCal Edison. So what will happen with those power lines and that whole area?
That is a great question. The power lines and the land under them are owned by Southern California Edison. They're ultimately a public asset just because the ratepayers have paid for them. But yeah, they're owned by Southern California Edison. They actually do more than just take power from the power plant or electricity from the power plant. So it is not a foregone conclusion that if the plant goes, the lines go. Having said this, we have been in discussions with Southern California Edison. I think there are some potential paths to doing some reconfiguration and at a minimum getting them removed up to Prospect, which would be at the top of the hill. So at least as you come into the waterfront in the harbor area, you won't see the transmission lines. But these are very preliminary. They're still subject to a lot of due diligence and analysis. Ultimately would require the approval of the Public Utilities Commission. But we can't provide any clarity or certainty about the future of the power lines. What I can tell you, if there's a continued industrial use on the site, whether that be a power plant, a desal facility, or a storage facility, those lines are staying for absolute certain.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Steve, we've talked very clearly, I think, about a lot of issues with Measure B. I want to give you an opportunity, because I know you may have discussed this with a few people. What do you see out there as objections that very reasonable people may have, but that you believe that you have an answer to?
Well, it's, they call it the silly season on campaigns, and you get mailers and things dropped off at your house. And the pro Measure B people have pretty much stuck to the same story, the same account. They've not changed anything. That this is a zoning change only, and that this is a golden opportunity to get rid of the power plant. The concerns I've heard is about traffic, because people they've received mailers and Facebook, a good old Facebook, and emails stating traffic's going to come to a complete gridlock because of 600 homes, and which is simply not true. And then, believe it or not, and I consider it a senior citizen, but we'll call them super seniors that have lived through harder times, they actually think that if the power plant goes away, a lot of them think the power rates are going to go up. Their electric bill will go up. And I have to, work with a one-on-one basis that you have to tell them, no, this will not affect your rates. And, and they're used to the power plant being around. And some people, remember, the power plant doesn't bother a lot of people. If you live in other parts of Redondo without a view, it doesn't affect them at all. So that, it's just various, people will base their opinion on the last thing they saw in the mail or the last thing someone told them. I have the Beach Reporter here, and I'm reading some of the things that are written on, and it's just not, there's just simply not true. And they have scare tactics, or people are scared about the schools being overcrowded. And that's simply not true.
With an additional 600 homes?
Like I said earlier, if you were to go down to the village or the Seascape condominiums anywhere on Catalina, there's very few school-aged children that live there.
Yeah.
Very, very few.
And let's keep in mind, this is not a cheap place to live.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a family of four living there. They're not crowding Burroughs School.
Yeah, starter families buying their first home. I just don't see that happening in any of the beach cities.
Yeah, we have more. There's more of a danger of if everybody that has their kids going to a parochial school pulled them out tomorrow, then we would be overrun by students. So, but not building. Building those units down there near the harbor aren't going to overrun our schools. And and just for a former school board member to say that is wrong. But I'll leave it at that.
No.
But there's it's a lot of misinformation.
Right.
Again, this is not a development plan. I keep harping on that. It's a rezoning only.
Now, I have to give you a few minutes, Steve. I want you to sit back and think what the harbor would look like without a power plant. Have you just let your mind run wild and think about that for a minute. Give me that vision that you might have had of a future Redondo Beach without a future Redondo Beach harbor without a power plant.
If I had the cash, those wealthy men that go buy up every house on Juanita and Paulina and Lucia that has a view of the harbor, because their property values will go out of the world without a power plant there. I am driving down Pacific Coast Highway looking to the west at from Redondo. I won't see, the first thing I see coming into Redondo won't be this horrible eyesore. I will see the harbor. The tallest building will be a building that's already there. It's an apartment building over on in the harbor. So that's what I envision. And the things that we would put there, or the developer would put there, with a new hotel and new restaurants. I want our Redondo citizens to go down the hill and go into our harbor or AES property to have dinner and drinks, or buy their books or whatever, rather than going to Manhattan and Hermosa.
Right.
When your friends come from out of town, you're taking them to Manhattan, for the most part, or Hermosa, and I'm sick and tired of that. And I think it's time for Redondo, to rise above everybody else now.
It reminds me very much of the Metlocks property in Manhattan Beach. If you remember, there was a hole there for decades, right? And there was a tremendous cleanup issue with the radioactive dials, the glowing dials on watches that were built there and all that. But that was all cleaned up. Metlocks is now a jewel, but this is in scale, 10 times that. I mean, it's just going to be amazing.
It's amazing, and the Metlocks area is amazing now.
Yeah,
and if you go back and look at the history of that. I actually had an office in Manhattan Beach at the time. I had an office there for years. And at the time, the city wanted to take Metlocks and make it a public park.
Yeah.
And the citizens rose and they rose hell. They were raising hell at no park. And now they have a development. It was exactly the opposite of what is occurring here.
Yeah.
But about the Shade Hotel up there,
yeah,
and all the places. That's a gathering spot.
It's a
beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is a community gathering spot, and it's a beautiful place to be. Eric, we're getting down to the end of the show, and I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about your feelings and AES and what you want the citizens to think about this coming vote on Measure B.
I think above all else, I am thrilled that we were able to come up with this plan and put this amazing opportunity in front of the citizens. And I, this started a couple years ago as, just another project for me and us, can we come up with something? And over time, it has now become something that is very, very personal to me, and that I'm very, very passionate about, because I see, as you just asked Mayor Aspel, the possibilities and what it could be, and how special and unique the development project could be, and the benefits that the city would get and the community from getting rid of that big ugly power plant and putting something there that would be fun to go to, where people can walk and bike and visit and sit outside and have a drink and have a meal. It has become personal, and I'm passionate about it being successful. And I'm scared to death at the same time, because I think I'm worried that some of the misleading statements that the opposition is making have got some traction, and people truly believe that there'll be another plan, and there's not going to be. This is Redondo's time is now. The time to get rid of that power plant and all industrial uses on the property begins with Measure B, and I just hope people truly understand that and take this opportunity to close the chapter and start a new day for Redondo.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Eric Pendergraft of AES. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe and Jackie.
Thank you. And Steve, it's been an amazing journey. You've had an amazing career as a Redondo Beach politician, but you've got to think that this is a big one.
Yes, it is.
It's an amazing opportunity. Thank you so much for joining us today, Redondo Beach Mayor Steve Aspel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Joe and Jackie. And just want the voters to go out and vote next Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll wake up and the world will still be spinning, and hopefully we can go back to being friends.
And it's been a great show. Thank you very much, everyone. We will be back, of course, tomorrow for Manhattan Beach 360. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.